evening. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference, which is a simulcast with a group of people on a telephone line and everyone who's listening on the internet. And we're still checking people in so you guys can share with us while we're checking people in. And by the way, if you're listening and you like what goes on Monday, you can get the phone number, because we do this every night of the week, and it can become a constant reference point. So, Suzanne, I have Conrad, Suzanne, Wayne, and Debbie, and anyone else?
Yes, we have Mary Jo, Terry, Karen from Tucson, Jackie, Mary Ann, Gary, Kathy from Tennessee, Dana, and Ed, and some other people just checked in.
Okay. Would whoever checked in like to say their name in the city?
Diane and Wesley, California.
Diane and Wesley?
Yes.
Hi, guys. And who else?
Francis from Concord, California.
Okay. Anyone else? Going once. All right. Just a second.
All callers are muted.
Okay. So everyone's muted. And just as a matter of introduction, I'd like to say that the folks that are on the line are on the line, and I hope I can speak for them. They're on the line because they started out checking this out. They heard me give a talk, or they read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, you know, there's quite a big contention, probably not the right word, claim, supposition, hypothesis on this line. And it's something that everyone who is listening, everyone who checks in, really has to draw their own conclusions as to whether this hypothesis is accurate or not. And you can determine the accuracy of it a couple of ways. One of them is to actually study the story of what happened to David Wilcock, who is the subject of my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And the other way is to study what happened to me while I was writing the book. And the other way is to tune into the energies of this line. Because as the line proceeds, there's something that happens which not everybody, but a lot of people that check in notice. There's a shift, an unusual shift in energy that happens over this line. And that shift of energy might be caused by these group souls who were the subject of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the subject of many conversations I've had with these voices that have identified themselves to me through the channeling experiences of two personal relationships. So in these conversations I've had, which have been now ongoing for over 5 years, I've had the opportunity to ask numerous questions about who is talking to me, where they come from, why they're talking to me, why they're interested in our planet, and why they would be on this conference line. and because they say they are. And for those that are listening on BBS, of course, the question is, so when? Who's talking? And why are they on this conference line? And ultimately, there has to be some benefit to somebody personally to be coming into this kind of experience and something that they get for themselves. And the way that I've learned to understand it, and I do suggest if you're on BBS radio and you happen to browse through onto this line, that you write down these two websites, because I'm not going to tell the story that's on the websites. There's a lot of information that you can study yourself. One of the websites is called theinsidescoop.org, and that website has a 30-minute audio where not only do I tell my story, but I have the people that were involved in the story telling their parts of it. And the reason is that it's a wild story, and everyone has a right to wonder if I'm telling the truth or if I'm exaggerating anything. So by having the voices of the people that were closely involved, it just adds more credibility when you listen to it, to say maybe this really happened, or if it did really happen, it comes to what is the significance to you. Not to me, but to you, because my experience is what happened to me. And somehow or another, there has to be something that's important for you also, or else this would be a waste of time, your time. So there's an interesting model, an interesting cosmology of how the universe works. And that we know there's something on the other side, but we can't see it. If somebody says, here's what's on the other side, you'd have to ask, well, how do they know? And, of course, I can't see it any more than you can. I've only had the added advantage of studying the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, studying the channelings, and having these guys talk to me with a bunch of evidence that you can't prove, I can't prove that they are who they say they are, but I can say that they are definitely phenomenal. There's definitely been a lot of phenomenal experiences around this. There's been a lot of synchronicities. There's been a lot of people whose lives have changed, and my inclination is that, in fact, they are who they say they are, and that they can work with you. They can connect with you. Now, the idea of having some invisible force connect with you, I've noted when I talk about this to people, that oftentimes people get a little bit afraid. They say, who is this that he's saying can connect with me? And do I want this kind of connection? And what is to be gained from it? And those are all very, very reasonable questions. And that's one of the reasons to just try to listen to all of this from a state of neutrality, not jump to any conclusions, not believe something because I say it, but not disbelieve it because you have some kind of prejudice that you approach it with, and that it maybe contradicts ways that you've learned or how you think things might actually work on the other side. Now, I would say almost everyone that has an idea of how things work on the other side has come to that idea because either they were brought up a certain way and they've adopted the way they were brought up, whether they were brought up as a hippie or a Catholic, you know, we all tend to deeply model our parents and our childhood. And oftentimes we carry around beliefs about things, and we've carried them so long that we just take for granted that they're true. Even though, when you take a look at it on a deeper level, you will see that you really don't have any particular validation that it's true. Now, sometimes people carry these ideas and they believe they do have validation because they have a miracle or they have a synchronicity, and they give credit to their beliefs, what they believed in. And I would say that if you have something that's working for you, and you believe in something, and it is creating miracles and synchronicities, and it is creating a sense of connection, and if you call that God, that's fine. What we're saying here is not against that. In fact, it's perhaps an overview of that. It's the way this force that we call God actually operates, actually delegates, actually stands itself out so that it can work with thousands of occupied planets through our universe, billions upon billions and trillions of individuals through our universe. Because the question is, how can one source manage so much variation of life forms through such a wide scope? And that's a good question, and of course, if you're religious, you would say, well, God can do anything, or God is omnipotent. But it kind of begs the question, because it doesn't really answer it. It just says, this is how it must work. And so, in my experience, and in the cosmology that I have been introduced to, because this was foreign to me. This is something that I read many metaphysical things. I've studied metaphysical things. I've had loads and loads of synchronicities in my life. But I never had anything near the kind of cosmology of how things work that I'm expressing right now. And even I go through looking at myself in the mirror and saying, am I really doing this? And is this real? Because I live in the world just as you do. And there's very little in the world that supports this cosmology. And as many of you know, when you try to explain it to someone else or introduce someone to it, oftentimes they don't respond, or they think you're crazy. And of course, when it first started happening to me, and I was wondering how to do this or how to put it out into the world, I asked them the question. I said, well, how do I do this? At the time, I was in the middle of writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that book in itself expresses a cosmology, which is very far out. And, of course, making the supposition that Edgar Cayce is actually reincarnated and back in the world is very far out. And now the guy that's writing the book, in the middle of writing it, it's not even published yet, is suddenly having these voices talk to him through personal relationships, doing miraculous things to get my attention, and wondering, how do I talk about this? How do I introduce this to people? And I did ask the question. I asked them, I said, well, what do you think? How am I supposed to work this? And they said, well, just talk to one person at a time, and eventually it will get its own legs. And so I did that. I talked to one person at a time. Many of the people I talked to, when I came the second time, they turned the other way and kept going another direction, because even though they found it interesting, to actually accept it would require the person would probably change some of their belief patterns. And most people have belief patterns that they're attached to, and they don't want to look at it from another point of view. I'm sure some of you listening right now might fit into that category. And if you do, please know that I'm not wanting to change your belief patterns. Not at all. I just want to share the experience and an idea of how things work, which I would ask you to consider, evaluate, and study. Because if this is correct, it's very important. We live in a world where it's difficult to know many things. We can't see them. We can't see things over the long view. We can only see things over the short view. And in the short view, we have to interpret, make our best decisions. And so now, when there's a communication that's coming from the long view, for tens of thousands of years, how things work, that's something that's not easily directly validatable. So it requires looking, reverse engineering the stories and seeing how it fits. And these group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, they do understand this. They understand how hard it is to impact things on this plane. And so they work at creating circumstances to get one's attention through synchronicities, through coincidences, through correlations, through prophecies. And then when the prophecies come about, people tend to pay attention because they see that there's something more at work than what might look as one insane individual waving a flag. So, of course, if we look at the Edgar Cayce story, we see that they actually, in the Edgar Cayce readings, prophesized that in 1998, Edgar Cayce would return. He may be a liberator of the world, and he would live in Virginia Beach. So now, when David starts getting messages from what he is thinking is his group, his dream voice, and he doesn't really know what it is, when he starts getting those messages, a year later, this voice asks him to go to Virginia Beach. And it's November of 1997, almost 1998. So it looks to me, in looking at how that all operated, that they reversed engineered it. They made the prediction, and then as David became accessible and was listening to their voice, they made sure that he would fulfill that prediction. And he did. And of course, in David's case, many of you know the story frontwards and backwards. He looks just like Edgar Cayce. His father looks like Edgar Cayce's father. He's got other people in his life that look like the people in Edgar Cayce's life. And so when you actually look at all the correlations, the astrological ones, you get statistically this huge probability that he's Edgar Cayce. And so, as I see it, this soul group that was speaking through Edgar Cayce had a deliberate plot in order to have David be recognized, so they might have a credible voice in this period of time. And we see that's happened in the past. We see it through the Old Testament, where all these prophecies were made, and then they created a circumstance where someone fulfilled the prophecies, and that person became recognized as Jesus. And so there's a modus operandum here, but if we look at it, we can see how they work to get something to be credible in this realm. And sitting on the inside of this story, I can see how difficult it is, even with all this credibility, even with these phenomenal stories, for people to actually turn their heads and pay attention. It's far easier to look back at something that happened thousands of years ago than to look at it in the present. Because if it's in the present, it's in your face. If it's in the past, it's in your belief patterns, it's in the collective of the planet, but it's hard to validate directly. But the thing that you can validate directly that's in your face confronts every atom and cell in your body, because we all exist as a product of our past, lives, you know, thousands of past lives. We've all developed ways of keeping our energy, compressing our energy, understanding life, and that as I understand, it seems to duplicate from one lifetime to another. So now we have David Wilcock being Edgar Cayce, and this voice that's speaking through him identifies itself as the Ra Group, and the Ra Group explains that they came through the graduation of this realm, and they act as somewhat of a, I guess what you could call a god form. And in different times in history, I believe this group has been recognized as gods in this realm, because they've taken responsibility, a certain degree of responsibility, to evolve us. That without these groups working with us, we would go through endless lifetimes in this realm, and we would be stuck here. And many people are stuck even in spite of all of this. And then there's the Elohim group, and the Elohim group, basically, as they exist now, hasn't had incarnations in this realm. And they are this pure energy outside of our timeline. In fact, outside of most timelines. And it was the Elohim group that started speaking to me, of course, as I was authoring the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Now, when this first happened, I was now myself confronted with, well, now I have two different sources. They're both saying the same thing, but I felt like I wasn't sure which one to be loyal to. I had really studied the Ra group. I identified with it. I recognized their wisdom. And now I have this new group, and I said, I'm not sure they're positive. How do I know they're positive? So I just said, I'm just going to ask questions, and that's what they said to do. They said, please ask us questions and draw all your conclusions over time. And as I went through this process of asking questions, I began to notice that when we were channeling, there would be a shift of energy in the room. And I could feel the shift. I could see, this is something I have been able to do for many years. I can see energies and fields. I don't see colors, but I can see light energy. And when we would channel, I started to feel that light energy and sense it. And as I asked them questions, I found out that they said that was them. That light energy that I was experiencing was them projecting through all the dimensions and into the room. And so I started to consider this as a premise. I didn't believe it right away. I didn't disbelieve it. And I just noticed the regularity that when we would channel, that energy would be present. So then I began to understand that energy being present was a very important thing to occur on this planet, because it was an integration of what we might say the law of one. We could consider the fact that each of us exists as an energy, and all our energies added together make a hologram. And then we have a group energy, and then all those group energies are in the hologram of the Earth's energy. And then there's the solar system's energy, and then there's the galaxy's energy. And way beyond it all is this group soul, the Elohim. And they seem to ride the waves of all these energies. They have an energy where they are, and their energy can project through all these energies into our energy, and then it can merge with the Earth's energy. And so we now start to have this integration of energies. And of course, as humans, we only have our six senses, so we don't, five senses, I should say, we don't see that energy. Well, I see it as light energy, and maybe some of you see it as light energy, see that light energy, but that's all I see. All the rest of it, maybe I can intuitively think, maybe this is happening. And so when we're doing this conference call, we have this circumstance where we're creating a group energy and we are connecting with the group energies of these two group souls. And we didn't talk about how the Ra group connects, but we'll just stay with the Elohim for the moment. Those of you that have been following us have learned that because of the understanding that we've created in this group, of these two group souls, they actually say, and I believe this is true, they've blended, or at least sections of them have blended to work with us. You see, on the other side, in the other dimensions, everything happens at the speed of thought and the speed of intention. So, and in a sense, that happens here also. In a sense, when you think of somebody, if your energy is somewhat clear, just thinking of a person creates an energy between you and them. And so we have this big, huge mishmash of totally shifting energies every single moment of creation, depending on what we all think, who we're with, who we're invoking in our space. And we're taking this moment in our conference call to take a moment to stop everything that we normally do and experience an expansion of our energies, an expansion where we all connect with each other, we connect with the Earth, we connect with these two group souls. Some of you are feeling the energy just as I'm saying it. And they have said they're paying attention to me, and I've gone through this enough that when I start talking about them, I can feel the energy shift. So I've learned to believe that that's probably true. If you notice, as you've been tracking me when we started this call, and I started just where you do in my own life and whatever my energy was involved with, and I start talking, and suddenly somewhere along the call There's a shift of energy. And I can feel that shift. And many of you have come and told me you can feel that shift. And this is the process of oneness in action, where we are now creating a space where we are one with each other, one with our planet, one with the celestial realms, one with the Elohim, one with Ra, to the extent that each of us can open ourselves up and get beyond our particular contractions, which we all have as part of our contract. It's interesting, contract, contractions, to be in this realm. You can't be in this realm without being contracted. You can't be in a body without being contracted. So we all need to be contracted in order to function in this realm. But when we create a circumstance, as we do in this conference line, which is expansion, then we have a circumstance where we have a moment of truth and reality that we don't normally experience in our day-to-day life. And we have an experience also of making shifts in what could be called the morphogenetic field that is the energy that's prior to physical reality. Physical reality starts with energy. And so if we want to change physical reality, we can do it in the physical, but it's not easy. It's not very easy to do that, as many people have discovered. But if we can start moving into the morphogenetic field and start working in that field and using our intentions for the highest good of all concerned, we can affect things in the physical realm. And we are now reaching up for a moment and becoming the divine parts of ourselves and becoming co-creators with the divine. And, of course, in this case, we're looking at the Elohim and the Ra group as being part of our co-creative system that will join with us as long as our intent is for the highest good of all concerned. Now, you can use group energies to shift reality, and if you're not operating in the highest good of all concerned, then you might join a witch's coven or, you know, something satanic, because group intention is powerful no matter where it's used. Just that those groups, to my understanding, cannot access these huge group energies because they're not operating in the highest good of all concerned. So many of you have been on the line and have heard channelings. We've had live channelings on this line at different times. We've played channelings. We've read channelings. On Tuesday, we read channelings. Wayne and Suzanne are doing the Quo channelings. And Terry is one of the people who has been one of my connections to this voice that identifies itself as the Elohim. And she's very shy, and she's kind of getting more and more bold and realizing how important what we're doing actually is. And I guess maybe 7 or 8, 9 months ago, I was in Santa Barbara and did a workshop. And some of you actually met me at a workshop with Dean Price's expo, the Holistic Living Expos. And at that workshop, Terry was there, and we actually did a live channeling for that group. This was after about 2.5 hours that I just talked, and there was a great energy in the room. And Terry stood up in front of the group, and this was the first time this ever happened, And the Elohim, or the voice that identified itself as the Elohim, addressed the group. So, if we have our engineering correct, Seth is supposed to be listening on VBS, and I sent him a audio file of this channeling. And Seth, I hope that when you play it, you can play it so it comes into the phone line too, put the phone near the speaker so that people that are on the conference line can hear it, as well as the people on the BBS network. And the Elohim explained a little bit about how they were working with the people in the room. So now I'm going to see if Seth is listening. Are you listening, Seth? Hello, Seth? Testing 1, 2.
Do we have a source that's positive
that
would like to address us tonight?
Yes. We greet you now in the love light of the one infinite creator. We surround each and every one of you with our love light, and we will be there for you to draw in. Sense the love light around you. Feel the frequencies. This love light, which is us projecting around you, will be available to you for sustenance, assistance, and protection in the times that are coming, and even in the times that are here now. As you ask, so you receive. When you have a need for the highest good, do not be afraid to ask, and we will work with you. We will be there for you. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We love you more than you can possibly imagine. If you feel in any corner of your mind that you are not worthy of love, this is false, because you are very worthy of love, no matter what. And we love you and are there for you. We leave you now with a prayer that the golden love light will come to your world as more and more people like you are open to bring it in. Adonai, we bid you good day. We leave, but we do not leave you.
Thank you, Seth, for putting that on. And that was a live channeling by Terry to a workshop in Santa Barbara. We all know that our planet is in the midst of a huge transition. And, you know, there's been many people emailing, there's been many points of view about how this transition is going to take form. In a recent channeling, in a recent question and answer, I'm going to pass this on because I know each of us in our little vulnerable bodies has a level of concern for this. And we'd like to know that everything's going to be all right. In the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the rock group said that things were going to break down slowly, one tire at a time on a car, and that eventually we would end up in a circumstance where we would be trading with each other, where that we would be bartering because there would be no more economy. Those people who study the economy, who are experts, they don't have to be psychics. Many of them are also predicting a huge economic breakdown. And I think that each of us has to be aware and prepare ourselves for this possibility. I don't know when this is going to happen, if this is going to happen in 2 months or 2 years or 5 years, but I do think it's going to happen. Our government basically prints money when they need it, and it's a short-term fix, but in the long term, it means that the money becomes valueless. One of the reasons that this economic breakdown has been delayed, according to stuff I've read, now I'm not on channeled material, just myself, is that because of the amount of debt that the United States owes other countries, the rest of the world has a huge investment in us not having an economic breakdown and putting it off, because if our dollar becomes valueless, then the money we owe other countries becomes valueless, and essentially the debt is never repaid. Also, it's been my understanding that our government puts money into the stock market to keep it buoyed up when it gets close to falling. And of course, it's an artificial thing. And sooner or later, something is going to happen to make it all fall down like a house of cards. And it's something that I don't believe can be put off by the other side. So that means it's a good idea to store some food. It's a really good idea to make some friends in your local area that you can count on. You know, in the channeling questions that I've asked about this, they said that we are not home free. There is a huge positive energy on our planet based on all the groups like ours that are lifting the vibration and interacting with each other. But there's also plots by the negative to create circumstances that could potentially create great fear. And that if they should succeed, that fear could go like a wave and potentially eradicate the good works that we are doing as light workers. So that means, they said, be vigilant. Don't relax. Don't think that everything's okay. The conference calls we're doing are important, and they're a template. Even though there's only a handful of people on this call, there's handfuls of people all over the place that are doing something maybe in the same vein, and that all these handfuls of people, by invoking this energy and bringing it onto our planet, are creating more permission for interventions from the other side, from those positive sources on the other side. And those of you who read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce would remember the chapter where the Ra group says how they monitor every single consciousness on our planet. And they can tell exactly what's going where. And they say they can do interventions beyond our wildest imagination. And that the more people that are turned towards love and wisdom, the more interventions they can do. Because I believe that without those interventions, and we don't read about them, I'm sure we don't even know they're happening, but I'm sure they're happening. I'm sure that perhaps it's one of those reasons why we haven't had some devastation in our country for quite some time, in retaliation for the stuff we've done. And that this work we're doing on this call is really important, and that I thank and I'm very grateful for all of you for being part of it. So when we say, what do we get out of this? What's in it for us? Because ultimately, there has to be something in it for us. One of the things is we get to experience and have a reference point for this energy in other dimensions. Which I believe, when we die, if we have that energy connected to us, we're going to be connected to it when we die. And it's going to be a energy which connects us to a higher future probabilities in our future lifetimes. So that's one very positive benefit. Another benefit is when we have that energy and it's moving through us and we have a connection with it, we can ask things of it. It wants to give us support and help. And as long as our requests are in the highest good of all concerned, we stand some chance of having more assistance than we would normally expect in our own lives and in the people that we're sending light to. And then, of course, just by being on this line and doing the kinds of meditations we're doing, we are helping to bring this light energy onto our planet and helping to be another force that's reaching for love and wisdom, which allows more interventions to occur in terms of staving off what could be a horrible circumstance in the future. And so I really thank everyone who has been supportive of this. And those of you who are listening on BBS and wonder if this is real, again, I repeat, please read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Listen to my website, theinsidescoop.org. Visit our website, higher-vision.org. And if you connect, please check into our conference lines often and cast your vote for the upliftment of energy on this planet. Now, on that note, it's 7:21, and we'll do a few... we'll do a calling in of the light, and maybe we'll have one or two people put some things in the light, and then we'll say a goodbye to the BBS audience and continue with the calling in of the light to the people on the line. So, just a moment, and Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line and each person listening anywhere in the world on BBS radio. And right now, we let go of any negativity and we release it higher realms of light to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. I ask each of you to imagine yourselves in this flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our solar system, through the outer energy levels of our planet, through our bodies, and into the center of planet Earth. And we each have an individual energy, and those of you who are willing to go for a moment and join energies with each other, those of us on the line and those of us listening on BBS, we take a moment and we create a group energy. And we invite those positive sources, those group souls, the Elohim and Ra, and all others who are operating in the Christed energy that support the work we're doing, to join with us. And we create a huge ball of energy surrounding ourselves and surrounding our planet. And at this moment, I would like each of you to think of something that needs upliftment in your life. Someone who needs healing, someone who needs cheering up, and it can even be yourself. And let that energy go to that area of your thought. Project it to it. And we ask this all in the highest good of all concerned. And now, we only have a moment. We're not going to do the individual light requests on BBS because we're really at our last minute. But so we'll take this last minute and we'll project this energy around our planet again. We send it to the Middle East. We send it to the trouble spots of the world. We'll identify a couple of them in the Middle East. Washington, D.C., London. We send it to the compassionate part of the decision makers. And we ask for the continued intervention from the positive sources on the other side to keep our planet safe. And on that note, we're going to say goodnight to everyone on BBS. We'll be doing this again next Monday. Again, we do the conference calls every night of the week. And if you're listening and you want to participate, you can either email BBS or email, go to our website, and we'll send you the phone number where you can call and check in. And thank you, Don and Seth at BBS, and we'll go on, and let me unmute everybody.